this morning, Pastor Andy will be delivering a message on the meaning of forgiveness. And he informed me that it's a pretty packed one that may end up getting divided into a couple of different sermons. Certainly a very important topic and one that we can all learn a little bit more about. And so as a scripture this morning, I'd invite you to turn to the blue sheet in your bulletin. There's a number of scriptures. We're going to jump around quite a bit in the Gospel of Matthew, Luke, and then Romans. And so if you'd like to follow along, I'll be reading off of the blue sheet. We'll all be on the same page, so to speak. So starting in Matthew 6, "Forgive us our sins, as we have also forgiven those who sin against us." And in Matthew 18, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? 7 times? Jesus answered, 'Not 7 times, but 70 times 7. This is how my Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart.' Then in Luke 15, "So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." And then Paul's words in Romans, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to revenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." God's word. I would like to invite Pastor Andy forward. I will pray over his sermon. Almighty God, we're thankful for Pastor Andy. We're thankful for your word this morning. And God, more than anything, we're so thankful for the forgiveness that you've offered us through your son, Jesus. And we just pray, God, that you would bless Andy's preparation. We pray you would grant him clarity of thought and enable him to speak the words that each of us need to hear regarding forgiveness this morning. And so, God, we give him your word in this time over in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Reed, and thank you to the worship team for leading us for all of those songs that we were singing. Focus on the freedom, the restoration that we experience as we have come to realize God's forgiveness of us. And today we're going to be talking about the process of us forgiving other people. Gulp. That is not easy. And I want to remind you, just before we get started with saying anything else, forgiveness always was and always will be a God thing. Amen? It's a God thing. It's more than what we can do as human beings. We can only forgive by the grace of God. But we'll talk more about that. I like to try to picture what I think various interactions that Jesus had with people, what they might have been like. And so the first one that I would like to think about is here in Matthew chapter 18. You know, Peter, he was a pretty likable, kind of a rough-edged kind of a person. He was sort of everybody's friend, or at least he thought he was friend of everybody. He was kind of quick to speak his mind. I'm sure the rest of the disciples had their own idea about Peter and so forth, but I can imagine them walking along one day and Peter was looking at his phone and saying, "Yeah, I'm sure it would have been this way. Yeah, there's my brother Andrew. He really said a nasty thing to me today, but I forgave him. There's number one." And then John, my fishing buddy, he said some pretty nasty things about me. They were totally wrong. I mean, totally wrong. Nobody would ever say anything bad about me, but he did. But I forgave him. Number two. I'm sure they have an app for this kind of thing, don't they? If they don't, they really ought to invent one. But anyway. And so he looked at his list. I forgave six people already, yesterday and today. I think that's pretty good. Don't you, Jesus? After all, you know, we're only supposed to give three times. After three times, we don't have to forgive anymore. That's what the Old Testament says, isn't it, Jesus? And how many times do you think it would be good to forgive our brothers when they've sinned against us? What about seven times? Don't you think that'd be pretty good? Now, Jesus knew all the time that he was looking there at his record of how many times he forgave. And poor Peter, Jesus really burst his balloon. And he said, "Now, Peter, that's not it at all. I hope your counter thing goes up to 500 because you really need to forgive 70 times 7. And Peter's mouth just, "What do you mean? I'm only supposed to have to forgive three times. And if I do it seven, isn't that pretty good?" And then Jesus launched into something else that he wanted to tell his followers about forgiveness. Now, before we're too hard on Peter, don't you think that sometime in your life you have sort of thought some similar thoughts? "Well, that person has done this to me three times now, and I've forgiven him, and I think I must be a pretty good person for being able to forgive." If we've thought that in the past, I hope we never do again. Because if we do, then we probably have some more things to learn about forgiveness. Because one of the first things that I think Jesus wanted to teach Peter and us by extension is forgiveness is not just simply counting the number of times we've forgiven and thinking we're a pretty good person. Keeping a record like that, my gracious sakes, if you have watches that can count how many steps you take each day, there surely are people who keep track of how many times we forget. You see, it's human thought. It's human conventional wisdom to think that forgiveness is something I can do and get it over and done with. I hear oftentimes people say, "Well, I think I've forgiven, but I still have some feelings every once in a while. I'm not sure if I've forgiven or not." Well, one of the things I'm going to talk a little bit more about, and by the way, as I was preparing this, I was thinking this would do this in 1 week, but we won't. This will be 2 weeks, all right? Next week, we'll continue this discussion about forgiveness, and we'll say more about it later. But forgiveness is more than just something that we can count how many times we've done. As a matter of fact, forgiveness is an attitude that I have, an attitude of the heart that keeps going and going and going and going, and you make that decision day after day after day because my attitude of forgiveness does not depend on just simply the outer kinds of things that are happening, but it's the attitude of forgiveness that I have within my heart. And no matter how many times that other person does things that offend me or I don't like or whatever, I'm not supposed to keep a little counter in my watch or my computer, But it's just an attitude of the heart that says, I will keep on forgiving. Because, you know, even though I thought I have forgiven and have made progress in this whole process, I could wake up tomorrow morning and decide within my heart, I'm not going to continue to forgive. We can always make that decision. Forgiveness, you see, is not just something that other people can see necessarily. They will sometimes, they'll see the way we react. But it's that attitude that starts within our heart and that we keep on forgiving day after day after day. It's an attitude that continues, and we will decide to let it continue or not. And then Jesus goes on and tells, and I sometimes get lost in these stories that Jesus tells. The parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew chapter 18. Oh my, it's so rich. About, you know, the king who was going away, and so he called the people in who owed him something, and he was going to ask them to pay up before he left. He wanted to get his books settled and everything. And this guy comes in who owes a humongous amount of money. If we could compare it, it would take a dump truck load of money to equal bills, you know, dollar bills, $5 bills, $10 bills, a truckload of what he owed the master. It was probably beyond comprehension. It was maybe more than the whole budget of the whole area. An impossible amount to ever repay. And he comes before the king, and the king says, I want you to pay up. And if you don't, I'm going to sell your family into, you know, slavery until you can pay. And Jesus uses the words, and when he came there, he fell on his knees and begged. I mean, it was like this, begging the king, be merciful to me. I will repay. Now, it was impossible that he could ever repay it. Totally impossible. But he begged for mercy. And the king forgave him. Now, the Greek word that's used there is very interesting. It's not used very often, but when it is, it has the connotation of his inner bowels were moved with compassion. I like that. Figurative. His very innermost being was moved with compassion. You know, we have a phrase in English that says, I have a change of heart. That's comparable to this. Because you see, forgiveness begins when I have a change of my innermost attitude toward the other person. In counseling, many times, people ask me, well, how do we forgive? I said, one of the places we can begin is to choose to see the other person differently. That's sort of having a change of heart about the other person. If we can begin to see the other person as a person who also is hurting, we can only usually think about the way they have hurt me, and we focus on that. But if we can sort of start changing that and say, that other person is probably also hurting for things that I may or may not know about in his life, what's going on. But he is probably in pain as well, and probably he didn't even realize how much he or she was doing and what they said and how it would affect me. They have so much of their own pain. And when we can start to see it from the other person's standpoint, it is involving basically a change of heart, a change of our innermost being about the way we see the other person. And so the master, the king, forgives him this humongous amount that he'll never be able to repay. And he goes trotting out right down the street and finds his fellow servant who owed him a few pennies, or what he could carry in his own pocket, or let's say maybe even $2. And he grabs him and he says, "You owe me that $2. You need to repay me." Huh? And he grabs him and he says, "Please forgive me. I'll pay you back." And the guy said, "Uh-uh. I'm going to sell you and your family into slavery until you can pay me back." And stop to think of it. Once he's sold into slavery or in jail, he can't pay it back anyway. So I mean, these are the kind of foolish kind of a thing to do. You see, this servant who had been forgiven this humongous amount didn't have a clue about what forgiveness was all about. He only could think of himself. And oftentimes, it's that selfishness that keeps us from being able to understand what forgiveness is all about. For you see, and I think one of the main things that Jesus was trying to tell his disciples and Peter was that our understanding of what it is to forgive others begins and ends totally with the extent to which I can understand that God has forgiven me. Amen. If I cannot understand or comprehend how much God has forgiven me, I'm going to have a hard time forgiving you. Because you see, as our worship team led us in singing today, it was beautiful. God has forgiven us so much. Now it's up to us to be able to understand what God has forgiven us and then extend that forgiveness to other people. Forgiveness is a God thing. Forgiveness is understanding how much God has forgiven me, and then in turn that I can forgive my fellow man. Now there's something else really, really important. I've had people say to me in counseling settings, "Yeah, but you know, Andy, you don't know what they did to me. He sexually abused me when I was a little kid. I was physically abused for 10 years of my life when I was a little kid. That person did something that took my sister's life. That's too big. I can never forgive that." You're right. You're right. We are never, ever asked to forgive another person's wrongdoing or sin or the way they've hurt us. We are only asked to forgive the person. And there's a big difference. You see, God hasn't given us the capacity to forgive sins. Only God can do that. I'm not responsible for what that other person has done. I'm not responsible when they stand before God. They and God are going to have to take care of that. Paul mentions that in Romans 12, and we'll talk more about that next week as well. You see, we are never asked to forgive a sin because many times, the sin, the offense, the wrong is so big, so big, so big. It has influenced us for life, and we will always be changed. We'll always be different by it. But that doesn't mean we can't have God's healing in our own lives, because you see, God never asks us. Nowhere in the Bible are we asked to forgive a sin. We are only asked to forgive the person. I want you to think about that and see what difference that makes. And then when we can pray and ask God, "Help me to change my heart about the way I see that other person," that's the first step in being able to forgive others. And as a matter of fact, the more I can understand how much God forgives me every day. It's not just once. Folks, God hasn't just forgiven us once back then whenever we ask for forgiveness. God keeps forgiving us every day. I'm sorry to confront you with the reality that as long as we're human, we're all going to be needing forgiveness every day. And as we realize that we need God's forgiveness in my life every day, it helps me have an attitude then to forgive others. No wonder that Jesus, in the prayer that he taught his disciples, the model prayer, is a prayer that we can pray every day. God, continue to forgive me my sins, my wrongdoing, as I forgive others. They go hand in hand. Mary's going to come and lead us now in prayer. And think of that as she sings.
Temptation, but deliver us from